This is Tuesday, January 7th, 2014. There's contests and changes aplenty in podcast news, the hosts of Azeroth Pirate Radio give their New Year's resolutions, and two WoW podcasts hit episode 200. This is Realm Maintenance number 76.
When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bloodsail and Defias, podcasters and podcastees, welcome to Realm Maintenance. I'm Ro, and thanks as always for listening. A quick congratulations to Rockmar on Twitter for winning the Pierre Battle Pet that was donated to the show by PetsOfWarcraft.com last episode. I should be able to get in touch with you before this episode even comes out, so enjoy the new pet. The holidays are behind us, and it's time to get rolling with 2014. Here is the rolling restart. Last week, it was reported by a number of WoW fan sites that a small group of players were emailed a survey by Blizzard inquiring about the price point for Warlords of Draenor and for boosting a character to level 90. Now, it was already announced at BlizzCon that purchasing a copy of Warlords would give players the ability to boost a single character to level 90, so that would be easy to hop into the current content right away, even if you've been away from the game for a while. While this is a great idea, there were those that wished it was possible to boost more than one character to 90 without having to buy two licenses for Warlords, and the survey at least shows that Blizzard is considering the possibility of including such a service. So, how much would I spend to boost a second character to 90? Well, right now, faction changes cost 30 bucks and realm transfers cost 25. You would think then that boosting a character to 90 should cost around the same, if not a bit more. But honestly, I think character services in general are overpriced right now, even for the largest MMO out there. It's no secret that WoW subscriber numbers aren't going up, and I think a good move for the game is to lower the cost of character services in general. $15 for a faction transfer and $10 for realm transfers seem far more reasonable to me, and a straight-out boost to 90 for $20? That sounds like something I might be tempted to do. That's half the price of a typical WoW expansion, and I feel that at that price you would get a lot of returning and current players using the service. There are those out there that feel that such a service is crossing the line, and well, I've talked before on the show about how I feel that player power shouldn't be able to be purchased with real money. However, my feelings on that basically apply to gaining player power on the most current content. Being able to buy current gear to do current raid tiers is definitely crossing the line. Having access to start the beginning of an expansion's content, though, while it's certainly a gray area, I think I'm alright with that. It's a topic that I'm sure will be discussed on other current podcasts, and I'm interested in hearing what the other shows have to say, and you as well. Feel free to share your thoughts on a paid boost to 90 by emailing the show at realmpodcast@gmail.com, and I might read them on a future show. We still don't know anything about the Warlords of Draenor beta, but there's a handful of news to quickly cover as we go around the world of Warcraft in 80 seconds. The Darkmoon Fair is back in town this week. While no additional content has been added to the fair recently, keep in mind this is another way to acquire Bind on Account heirloom items which can now be mailed to your characters on other realms. A Pandaren shaman named Double Agent on the Manoroth server has managed to obtain level 80 while staying entirely on the Wandering Isle starting zone by using herbalism to gain experience. The WoWhead fan site has compiled a list of pop culture item references in the game. You can find this two-part guide covering movies, TV, comics, games, and more at WoWhead.com. According to game designer Dave Maldonado, the changes to Karazhan that were datamined on previous PTR clients were a part of a phasing experiment to see if the instance could be reused for future event content. The experiment didn't work with the current phasing technology, and it's uncertain if Karazhan will indeed be revisited in the future. Blizzard confirmed reports last week of a Trojan virus which resulted in the compromise of accounts that had authenticators attached to them. This is the only confirmed case of a man-in-the-middle-style attack in years outside of an instance in 2012 which affected a handful of accounts. The threat has been identified and should now be caught by most security programs, and according to Blizzard, an authenticator should still protect your account 99% of the time. And finally, according to technical game designer Chad Nervig, aka Celestalon, primary stats will no longer be found on gems as of Warlords of Draenor. And that's your news. I'll be right back with a Podcast of the Week interview after this.
The Hunting Party Podcast. Over 5 years and 200 episodes of epic hunter knowledge. And on January 18th, it's all coming to an end. As the world of Warcraft has grown and evolved, the Hunting Party Podcast has grown and evolved with it. We have been with you every step of the way. We have brought you the best minds in theory crafting and the best hunter players in the world. We have been with you for the best and worst of times, streaming through the internet superhighway live every week. We have championed the hunter cause and helped lift the hunter community over the pale limitations of the support classes. We have found the best hunter pet for the DPS. But the Hunting Party Podcast has been more than just a source of hunter news. It's been about laughter, alcohol, math, and friendships. In other words, it's been about life itself, about how to top the charts, in-game or out. So join us for the final episode and help us celebrate the close of something wonderful. Come party live with Grippies, Darkbrew, Frostheim, Alisander, Art, Michelle Mara, Zahara, and Big Red Kitty. Episode 200 happens on January 18th, 2 p.m. Eastern Time at huntingpartypodcast.com.
One of the goals of this show is to spotlight WoW and other Blizzard game podcasts from across the spectrum, casual to hardcore and A to Z. So, for no reason whatsoever, let's start 2014 at A and see where it takes us. This week I'm happy to have for the second time on the show, Seraphis, and for the first time, Corey, the host of Azeroth Pirate Radio. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Indeed. Glad to be back.
Well, I think that this will be a little interesting because, Seraphis, last time you were on the show was, you know, several months ago, and I interviewed you for the Sundering. Azeroth Pirate Radio is definitely a different kind of podcast from the Sundering. I just, having listened to the last few episodes, maybe if you could describe a little bit about what kind of direction Azeroth Pirate Radio takes and why people who might listen to the Sundering may be surprised when they listen to this show.
Well, I mean, for me, and most people know, like, the Sundering, we wanted that show to be more like, we're not going to touch on all the news because a lot of shows go over the news, and we're just going to hit on the parts that we like, and then we're going to go off, and we're going to do some fun things like you'd normally hear on a Mumble channel. But for Azeroth Pirate Radio, I wanted to talk a little bit more about World of Warcraft. I wanted to talk about more about the Blizzard games, and specifically how it kind of fits into my life now that I have, you know, I'm married, I have kids, I got a job, and, you know, and Corey, being one of my guildmates, it, you know, falls right in line with that. I mean, he's got three kids, he's got a wife, he's got a job, and the question is, how do we really make time, and how do the changes in World of Warcraft and new systems that they put in place and new expansions and other games that they release, how does that affect our gaming and our precious time that we have to game? Because there's not a lot of time to play.
Who was it that led the charge? Who roped who into the whole thing? I'm always curious about how these things get underway.
Well, so Seraphis approached Somnar and I. He had an idea, and he thought about it, given the fact that he was already a dad. I was a dad of three kids, and Somnar was getting ready to have a baby. He thought the three of us, we all had a good rapport in the guild, so he had, you know, two people that he had talked to, and Somnar and I also had a good rapport with one another. So it was that, you know, like Seraphis said, that mutual part of being a kind of grown adult, trying to still find some time to game, very limited availability for gaming time, trying to figure out how we could, you know, talk about being parents and professionals and still wanting to be gamers from time to time, specifically with Blizzard products, Blizzard IPs, World of Warcraft being the primary one. So he approached the two of us. We were both down with it. And then from there, all three of us kind of took our own, that's what I'm looking for. We took our own path to kind of get to the center. So Seraphis laid the groundwork of getting a site procured, you know, an URL, figured out what he wanted, got the show notes all kind of set up, the template format for the show notes, things like that. I went and did some of the graphical work and some of the other web work and got all that taken care of. Somnar then turned around and tried to figure out, okay, what are we going to do for the next upcoming episodes, and kind of laid down a path, and he did some voice work for it. So we all kind of took little bits to get it off the ground and running.
Now, why exactly Azeroth Pirate Radio for a name? Is there any special significance to that, or is it just a catchy sounding name for you guys?
Well, we bounced around a few different ideas, and one of my favorite movies, and especially at the time, I had watched it probably a good half a dozen times, like the week leading up to when Seraphis approached us about it was is Pirate Radio or the Boat That Rocked.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love that movie, and I just like the idea of the of that of Azeroth Pirate Radio, the notion of us being a pirate radio program where we keep it clean, but we're a little bit, you know, we're not quite, we're probably not quite the mainstream of you know, Blizzard wouldn't necessarily approve of everything we say. You know, I'm going to turn around and I've been known on my blog to bash them at times, and I've also been known on my blog to completely defend them. So I liked the notion of us being a little bit, you know, we're a little bit pirate-like in that regard. We're not exactly mainstream, but we're also not totally off the deep end where we're, you know, we're non-family friendly. We wanted to make sure that what we were doing was safe enough from a radio, like a radio standpoint, safe enough for, you know, you to be driving down the road and listening to the podcast on the radio or on your device with your kids in the car. It'd be clean for them to hear, maybe even listen to it with your kids if you so choose. But, you know, again, not quite just the, you know, the kind of Care Bear to Blizzard itself.
Typically, how long is your average show and what's kind of the general format that you guys do?
I mean, we try and keep it pretty, pretty simple. First of all, we want to definitely keep it under an hour. We try and gear towards the folks who are, you know, they're going to work or they're on their lunch break or something. So we want to keep it under an hour. So, and really the format is we just kind of intro. We kind of go over, you know, what we've been doing with our game time over the past week. And then we kind of get into the news and how we see it maybe affecting us as adult gamers. And when we say, like, as Corey alluded to, as adult gamers, you know, the gamers who have, you know, that 9-to-5 job, sometimes that demands more even of 9-to-5, you know, who has to come home and has to make sure, you know, the kids are settled, the, you know, our spouse's needs are taken care of. And then finally, where does our game time come in? And is Blizzard going to be implementing something in the next patch that is going to hurt our game time or have us benefit from it? So That's usually what we try and hit on. We're not going to be where we're going to regurgitating the news. There's plenty of shows out there that cover all the news, but we want to kind of take the spin of how it's going to affect gamers with limited playtime ability.
I always ask a question that's somehow based off the name of the show. It's usually wacky or silly. So Azeroth Pirate Radio, pirate question. For each of you, are there enough pirates in WoW, and who is your favorite pirate, WoW or otherwise?
I'm going to let Q handle this.
No, you go first, buddy.
Oh, sure. You just throw me under the bus.
Why not?
Honestly, I don't have a I'm horrible with NPC names. I am the wrong person to ask about lore related questions, but I've always had a soft spot for the pirates that are in Booty Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging out there. They always felt like they were the most well developed of all the pirates in the game. So whoever those swashbucklers are, those fine upstanding gentlemen and gentle ladies.
Gotcha. What about you, Corey?
No, I don't think there are enough pirates in there. My favorite pirate is not in Warcraft. One of my favorite movies is Treasure Planet from Disney.
Okay.
And Captain Silver is from that movie. He's phenomenal.
All right. I've actually never watched Treasure Planet.
Great. It's a really, really great. It's one of those like popcorn adventure flicks. And, you know, also I've seen all sorts of reviews, like, you know, like the Roger Ebert, you know, Gene Siskel type reviews where they say, oh, well, how are they breathing in space? And they're on ships that have sails and there's no wind in space. I'm like, really, guys, it's a kids animated movie. Could you like stop with the overanalyzing? Like, it's not supposed to be a science movie. It's an animated flick. It's supposed to be Treasure Island in space. And it is a lot of fun. In our house, it's one of our family favorites. So.
Everyone in podcast land is doing the whole where it's year in review or New Year's resolutions. I'm curious, what New Year's resolutions do each of you possibly have as they would apply to World of Warcraft or perhaps balancing your time between WoW and everything else you do?
For me, it was to actually post on my blog this year. I just ran out of time, and then I tried to get back into it and ran out of time again. So I'm for January 2014, I'm kind of starting anew for myself and dedicating myself to actually posting on a weekly basis. I'll post an article, even if it's a short article, even if it's not one of major substance, but post something out there.
Cool. What about you, Seraphis?
You know, I had a few of them. One is to try and spend a little bit more time with my alts. Because I did enjoy like my rogue. So I got my rogue to 90 already. I'm working on my shadow priest now. But one of the other things is also to try and enjoy some of the other games. I really want to play like Diablo 3. I want to play Hearthstone. I'm going to want to play Heroes of the Storm when that comes out. I want to get back into StarCraft 2 a little bit, but at the same time, I also want to play other games outside of Blizzard. That I just have been neglecting. I want to finish up like the Walking Dead game. I have that and I've just never finished it. And
Justice Gods Among Us, it's really, really cool.
It really is.
It is. It's really awesome.
Continuing the zombie theme, I have State of Decay. I downloaded to my Xbox 360 when they were doing their sale. I mean, I got games that I want to play and I want to finish. And I want to try and play a few more indie games this year to just kind of see like what some of the new ideas are coming up from some of these independent developers. And, you know, to kind of give me some ideas of my own to try and write in my blog about, you know, what I would like to see Blizzard implement in World of Warcraft to make the experience more enjoyable and more bang for my buck from just my experiences with other games outside the Blizzard ecosystem.
Seraphis, you are one of the key people behind something new that has manifested over the past few months known as Catalyst Gaming Media. You guys just announced it not too long ago, and it's already underway. While it includes a number of WoW podcasts, you guys have tried to make it clear it's not exactly what you'd label as a podcast network. So I was wondering if you could tell me and the listeners more about what Catalyst Gaming Media is about.
I almost see it more of like a guild for gaming content creators. It's a place where we can all get together, kind of share ideas to say, hey, look, this is what I want to do, but I want it to be bigger than what I feel I can do it. This idea is something that Zia, my co-host on Sundering, and I, we've had now for a few years. We just didn't know how to really get it to the next step. And World of Podcasts was really that jump start that we're like, this was really great. We got a whole bunch of different podcasters together to do something bigger than what we could have done by ourselves. We have multiple podcasts. We got YouTubers. We got bloggers. We're about to bring on a new blogger, and it's not just specifically just to Blizzard games necessarily. It's to any gaming content creator who wants to kind of join up and say, hey, I want to be part of something bigger. I want to do something. So, I mean, perfect example right now is, you know, last year, Medicakes and Lignar did, a charity event for Child's Play.
Yeah, I think they're planning another one pretty soon, too.
Exactly. They're planning another one, but this time we're going to have a lot of other podcasters who are in Chaos Gamia, you know, backing them up, you know, helping to make it even bigger and better and doing whatever we can to make sure that they're successful. So the whole idea is that this is Medicakes and Lignar's thing. This is their event, but everyone who's part of Catalyst Gaming Media is there to support them and lift them up to make it better than what it was last year.
How would a blogger, streamer, YouTuber, or podcaster, or anyone that would be a fit, how can they become a part of Catalyst Gaming Media? What do they have to do?
Well, right now, the easiest way to just become a part of it is go check out the forums. You can get there by going to Catalyst Gaming Media. There's a link to our forums up at the top of the page. Beyond that, we have a contact us form. We're going to actually be putting up a better process for if you want to actually join Catalyst Gaming Media. We're going to have something up probably in the next 2 weeks. But for now, if you're interested, you can just use the contact us link up at the top there. But really, the forums are a great way to just kind of introduce yourself, We've already had a few people who are kind of been like, hey, I really want to start a podcast. You know, what software should I be using? And, you know, we've had like folks jump in and say, hey, this is what I'm using. This is what I'm using. This is why I like this. This is why I like that. And so while it's not a huge overblown community yet, it's got that grassroots movement that we want to be there to help people to start their own shows. We're not there to keep all this information tucked away. We want to help people succeed, and we want people to do well, whether they're part of the Catalyst umbrella or not.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for telling me more about that, and I hope people that are interested check that out. And just finally, before we head out here, when, where, and how can people find Azeroth Pirate Radio, and how can they get a hold of you guys?
You can find us on Azeroth Pirate Radio at our site, azerothpirateradio.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/AzerothPirateRadio. And we do have a Twitter account at Azeroth Radio. You can find me personally on my blog at quarry.wordpress.com and on Twitter at QuarryWow. How about you, Seraphis?
Really, the best place to probably find me right now is on Twitter at Seraphis. And from there, I'm sure you can find the plethora of other items that I am attaching myself to the moment.
Yeah, congrats on being mentioned by Tyson Foods with the stuff
recipes. I am so excited by that. You have no idea.
I bet. Well, guys, thank you very much for being on the show this week, and we will go ahead and play a clip from episode 35 of Azeroth Pirate Radio. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Obviously, holidays, slow news week, so we want to kind of do our own little mini APR here in review. So, Corey, what did you like most in 2013 for Blizzard Gaming?
I have to say, for everything they did, the biggest thing for me is Diablo on the PS4. I played it on the PS4. Friends of mine have D3 on Xbox 360, and I played Reaper of Souls on the PS4 out in BlizzCon. And I've said this on you know, multiple times now. I'm probably standing in a soapbox about it, but I do not like Diablo 3. I did not like Diablo 3 on my desktop. Since it launched, I played it for the first few weeks when it launched, just to play with guildies, and I have not played it since. I think I might have logged into it once since then, because I don't like it on my desktop. However, having played it on that PS4, playing it on that console with just the game controller, I really liked it. It was a lot of fun. The graphics were beautiful. It was very intuitive. It just felt right. So for me, the biggest thing, and there's a couple things I've liked here and there. Hearthstone Beta is a good example of something I liked. But for me, Diablo on the console is just a big boon for them. That's a really awesome, awesome move on their part. How about you?
No. For me, probably the biggest thing was the thing I liked most was the introduction of the flex rating technology in World of Warcraft. It really epitomizes, especially where I'm at in my gaming life, where it feels okay to be able to jump into a game that, you know, maybe they've already, our guild has already started, because maybe I'm running late because for some reason my daughter is just not wanting to go to bed, or my wife desperately just needs some assistance with our infant son. So I really like the fact that you can hop in, hop out. I've always been a big fan of console games that have been very big on, like, you know, you're playing a game and a friend comes over, they could just hop in and start playing with you. And then if they got to leave, they could just hop out and you could go back to playing single player. And you never miss a beat. And that's what flex rating feels like to me. It feels like that hop in, hop out type mentality without slowing down the group, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, that just says this is what I like. This has been enjoyable. I like the feature. It makes me excited for Warlords of Draenor raiding. So that's probably my favorite. I will say that Hearthstone is a very, very close second. It has been a huge surprise for me. I didn't like Magic the Gathering Online, so Hearthstone has been a huge surprise for me. But I think for Blizzard Gaming, the flex rating has really been My favorite.
Hello, Earthlings. This is Scott Johnson from The Instance and the Frog Pants Network, and you're listening to Realm Maintenance.
Thanks again to Seraphis and Corey for being on the show this week. The full interview ran over 40 minutes long and has plenty more for you to listen to, and you can find that interview exclusively at realm-maintenance.com in a few days. And now here's Remedies to join me on this week's podcast news.
On episode 33 of the Chaos Portal podcast, LeGrayson, Alice, and Saragossa discuss forum posts about standard UI changes, getting around the Undercity, the real value of guilds, and more. You can find the Chaos Portal on iTunes, Stitcher, and chaosportalshow.com. For those who'd like to listen live, the show has moved its recording time from Saturday to every other Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Congratulations to Root and Freckleface on reaching a huge 200 episode milestone with Hearthcast, the podcast for casual World of Warcraft players. On this episode, you'll find out what they've learned in 200 full episodes of Hearthcast, as well as information on an awesome add-on that lets you move it, move it. Episode 200 is available now on iTunes, Stitcher, and Hearthcast.com. The Twist and Nether blogcast recently interviewed Root and Freckleface, and you can find that on episode 215 of that show at twistednether.net.
Guitar solos, singing, fortune cookies, a bit of technical difficulties, a vacationing Anna, and much, much more run rampant in the 2013 season finale of Final Boss TV. Brutal from the Set to Heroic podcast and Coltrane from Convert to Raid join Bay and Anna on a year-in-review show that you have to see to believe. You can find the podcast on iTunes or FinalBoss.tv, or watch this special episode at youtube.com/FinalBossWOW.
Speaking of Brutal, the crew from Set to Heroic is back with the first episode of 2014. But with the changes coming in Warlords of Draenor, will they have to rename their show to Set to Mythic? You could decide the show's new name by tweeting your idea to @SetToHeroic on Twitter. The winner for this contest will be announced on episode 20 of the show, so you have a couple of weeks to enter. Find this progression rating focus podcast at settoheroic.libsyn.com.
Haster and DG sat down and talked about boosts to 90, internet dangers, New Year's resolutions, and more in the show entitled Garrosh's Defense, which can be found at thegroupquest.com. Mike and Bell say farewell to 2013 on episode 14 of The Meeting Stone. It was a year that saw a lot of great gaming moments in Azeroth. It's also the year The Meeting Stone launched, something that neither host saw coming when the year started. So take a seat, have a look back, and gaze towards the future with everyone at The Meeting Stone.
Ben and John from Azeroth Roundtable also said their farewells to 2013, but they certainly weren't alone. Episode 40 featured over 10 guests from previous shows, making this year-in-review show the first where the table was actually quite round. Find out what a cowbro is and more at azerothroundtable.blogspot.com.
A couple of days ago, we received this release from the Godmother over at Alternative Chat, which you can find at alternative-blog.net. It reads, "Some days there's just never enough time. As a GM for nearly a decade, I've found myself being the bearer of many forms of news, good and bad, to my guild over the years. It's occurred to me that for some time there's not been one place where you can pick up what's going on without having to wade through countless web pages or take time to watch videos when you'd far rather be playing Warcraft. Therefore, the idea of Azeroth in 5 was born, a 5-minute weekly podcast that presents the previous 7 days' news in 5 minutes, all ready to stick in your ears and take wherever you might be going. With Azeroth in 5, you'll know about hot fixes and game changes while you drive to work, that a patch is coming and it's time to update your add-ons as you walk to get your lunch. Because we're only 5 minutes long, you'll get all the news you need quickly, efficiently, and without the need to wade through tons of unnecessary gubbins. We'll be launching our first episode on Wednesday, January 7th, and after that will be available every Wednesday at 12 midday GMT, or thereabouts, to include details of server resets across the United States and continental Europe." When a scheduled patch is due, we'll also offer a subsidiary podcast, which will detail all the important changes you can expect to see when the game goes live in your area, allowing you to plan playtime accordingly. It's only 5 minutes of your time, through your ears and directly into your brain. Azeroth in 5 brings the news you need to know in an easily digestible format. We look forward to helping you keep up with the times and ahead of the curve.
Thanks again, Godmother, and you should be able to find this podcast on the internet, also at alternative-blog.net. If you're a raider and don't listen to Convert to Raid every week, I strongly encourage you to check out episode 125 of CTR, now available at converttoraid.com and gamebreaker.tv. Zug, Coltrane, and Darius spent a great deal of time giving out advice on add-ons and tools that can be used in all aspects of raiding, from DPS to leading the raid itself. There was so much to cover that some of it was held for next week's show, so take a listen to Convert to Raid if you're looking to take your raiding to the next step.
If you were listening at the end of the last season of ObscureCast, you'll know that the crew has some goodie bags of BlizzCon-related loot to give away. Winners will be drawn out of a hat when the show returns for Season 6, but it may not be too late for you to enter. For complete details on this contest, check the recent post at ObscureCast.com.
The Team Waffle Podcast is back with their fourth Resto Druid Roundtable episode. The current state of Resto Druids and proposed changes for the future are talked about on this show, which can be found at teamwafflecast.com. And hey, it's shameless plug time. The Grand Ole Podcast is back from its hiatus, and it kicks off the new year with an interview with me on episode 103. To listen to Sayomara and myself talk about podcasts, podcasts, and more podcasts, find the show at rivalcastmedia.com.
The WoW radio drama The Lockheed Journals continues into the new year with the fifth episode of Season 2. This week's show features the voice talents of Apple Cider Mage from Justice Points and Hathor from Low Pop WoW. And as always, you can find this show with the rest of the podcast from Stormride Productions at stormridecast.libsyn.com.
And finally, the folks over at the Blizzmaster Network have put together a unique contest where you could gain a lot by losing weight between now and the launch of the next expansion. The contest is called Get Buff, the World of Warcraft Weight Loss Challenge, and the grand prize winner will receive a collector's edition copy of Warlords of Draenor. For complete rules and information on the other prizes available, check the post in the events forum at blizzmaster.com.
The WoW Podcast subreddit keeps up-to-date links on all the major World of Warcraft podcasts. It's your one-stop shop to find out all the latest and greatest WoW podcasts. Get caught up with your favorite shows and discover shows you didn't even know existed. If it's about WoW, it's on the WoW Podcast subreddit. Find out what all the excitement is about by visiting reddit.com/r/WoWPodcasts.
Dalaran Doyen deems druids distasteful. It's the Overly Dramatic News, I'm Hunts the Wind. Lady Jaina Proudmoore has long been one of the Alliance's most beloved leaders, known for her kind and nurturing personality. But the obliteration of Theramore has had a profound impact on her nature, which many have noted has turned dark and vengeful. This unfortunate transformation was on display 2 weeks ago when Jaina was interviewed by the magazine Dalaran Quarterly. The DQ reporter asked her what she saw as the greatest threats to the Alliance, and she took the opportunity to rail against those Night Elves that, quote, practice the druidic lifestyle, unquote, saying that they were not followers of the Light. She went on to suggest that their association with their Tauren druid counterparts put their loyalty to the Alliance in question. Proudmoore's comments have raised a firestorm of controversy since then. The druids promptly revoked the Kirin Tor's invitation to the upcoming Lunar Festival ceremonies in Moonglade and encouraged their supporters to boycott all goods from Dalaran. This has infuriated many members of the Church of the Holy Light, who see it as an attempt to punish Proudmoore for speaking out about her religious beliefs. When asked to comment, King Varian responded, quote, Lady Jaina has a right to speak, but so do those who know that druids are valued and loyal citizens of the Alliance. Freedom of speech does not equal freedom from criticism, unquote. Many were left dissatisfied by his answer, feeling he ducked the question. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
And that sound means your update is complete. It's time to press the play button and lose to a stupid mage deck in Arena that had 3 Flame Strikes, 3 Fireballs, a Pyroblast, and Leroy Jenkins. Sorry, it's just... stupid mage decks. Thanks to Finn for the Win, who left a 5-star review on iTunes, but what about you? What do you think of the show? Leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and whether it's 4-star, 5-star, or otherwise, I'll give you a shout-out. I'd also like to thank @WillSeiler on Twitter for a generous $25 donation made to the show recently. If you feel like donating to the show, you can use the donate button found at realm-maintenance.com, and all donations are used for contest prizes or improving the production of the show. Realm-maintenance.com is also the home of the weekly podcast roundup, and if you subscribe to the RSS feed there, you'll get a list of all the WoW and other Blizzard game podcasts that have come out in the past week every Sunday. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about WoW or WoW podcasts, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show on Twitter @RealmPodcast. You can follow Remedies @Remedeezy, or follow myself @Rowow, spelled R-H-O-W-O-W. Next week, I'll speak to the host from the Azeroth Perspective podcast. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2014. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks again to Seraphis and Corey for being on the show this week. Thanks to everyone in the WoW podcast community for the retweets and for getting the word out about the show. And thanks to you for listening. This podcast is sponsored and hosted by Safeshark Hosting. With an affordable plan offering unlimited bandwidth and disk space for as low as $12 a month, Safeshark Hosting will work with you to seamlessly transfer your current blog or podcast site or start up a new one. Hosting doesn't have to bite. Go to SafeSharkHosting.com to learn more about the services offered, and use the code RealmWOW at checkout to get 15% off. There are plenty of fish in the sea, but there's only one SafeShark. Follow SafeShark Hosting on Twitter @SafeSharkHost.